going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, time to mourn and a time to dance, time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, time to get and a time to lose, time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God has given to sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he set the world in their heart, that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth that men may should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be is already been. And God requireth that which is past. Let us pray. Our Father, most glorious God of all, ruler and reigner of this universe, you who do as you please in heaven and earth and all the deep places, you who do according to your will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay your hand or say unto you, what doest thou? You who out of the same lump of Adamic clay make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor, one vessel to be a trophy of your grace, another to be used for a time and cast aside. Thou art God. There is none beside thee. There is none like unto thee. You declare the end from the beginning and the things that are past. You bring something out of nothing. You make new creatures and new creations in Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you. Pray for those dear friends and brothers and sisters. We've lost a dear friend this week. We've lost him, but you gained him. We pray, Lord, you'd be with all this congregation at the loss of Wayne. Cause us in our hearts to realize that our days are numbered, our months are with thee, our bounds are set, and we cannot pass. When it's time for us to go home, we will. But until that day, let us enjoy this life that you've given, for it's a gift of God. Help us now to worship you as we think on these things. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friday morning at 9:15, Brother Wayne Land went on to glory. He'd been waiting for that moment many times in the last days of his life. In the last year or so, he would say, I'm waiting for that trump to sound to call me home. He also said that afflictions are appointed of the Lord. He had a peace and a confidence in Jesus Christ. He was a stalwart defender of the faith, a man who loved the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it came to the gospel, he gave no quarter and took no enemies. He was a friend and a brother and he will be sorely missed. For those who loved him as we did, have confidence in this very thing, that God, who has begun a good work in you, shall accomplish it to the day of Jesus Christ. He was buried the same day he died, for that was what he desired. So we didn't have time for a funeral service, but he wanted me to preach this for his funeral. So this morning is a kind of funeral service for our brother Wayne. He loved this passage of Scripture. I can't tell you how many times when I would go see him that he would say, read me Ecclesiastes 1 through 15. For he was a man who believed in the absolute sovereignty of God in all things, that God was in control, ruled and reigned. He gave life, he took life, he killed and he made alive, he brought down and he lifted up. He made poor and he made rich. These things were things that set him, his mind in order and gave him peace in this world of chaos. Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, a wise king, a man whom God gave wisdom and was great in that wisdom. His life didn't end well because he was also a political genius and found himself aligning himself with many pagan nations and taking pagan wives and concubines. Didn't end well for him, but he was a wise man. And as he wrote this book, Ecclesiastes, it means the preacher, he's preaching about the glory of God's absolute sovereignty in all things. He says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Gave two things that have to do with time. First is a season. A season usually has a beginning and an end. The child of God, his life is a life of trials, and that's one of those seasons that it spoke of. It has a beginning and an end. When James wrote his epistle to the church, he said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's the season. We have seasons of joy, seasons of sorrow, but they have a beginning and they have an end. But he also uses the word time, and this has to do with appointment. This has to do with the time that you have, that a time has been appointed for something to take place. Over in Job 14:5, it says, man's days are numbered, his months are with God, his boundaries are set, and he cannot pass. That simply means that he will live as long as God has given him breath, and at the appointed time, he will die in the flesh and go on to be with the Lord. And he says, to everything, everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And simply says this, that if you understand and know this, the troubles of this world will not have the great effect on you. They will trouble you because we are human beings and sinners, and we are often governed by our view of circumstance. But to know this, that whatever happens in this world is according to God's purpose, and there's a time for it and a season for it, for every purpose under heaven. And he lists a number of things, pretty much covering everything, a time to be born and a time to die. Wayne experienced both of those things. He was born into this world, a Florida boy, and he died at Solly Manor at 9:15 on Friday morning. There's a time to plant. The children of God are said to be those who are planted by God as plants planted with his whole heart. Time to pluck up. And our brother was plucked up out of this world into the next. A time to kill and a time to heal. These things we don't think of. We rarely, or at least in religion today, don't want to think of God in terms of controlling things like killing or hating. We don't think of him in those orders, but we need to, because God is who he is, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither his ways our ways, as far as the heaven is above the earth, or his ways and thoughts above our ways and thoughts. So there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to tear down things, and a time to build up things. So everything is according to purpose, a time to weep. We're experiencing that now, and a time to laugh, and we've experienced that many times with our brother. A time to mourn, we're experiencing that now, and a time to dance. A time to get. A time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend or tear, and a time to sow. Time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate. That's an amazing thing. There's a time for that, for each one of those things. People think you shouldn't hate. David said, I hate them that hate thee with a perfect hatred. If you hate me, you have every right to. I'm a despicable human being, a sinner saved by grace. And you don't know half the story if you think I'm bad and vile. You don't know half the story. So what you can say about me, and if you hate me, I fully understand you have every reason to hate me. But if you hate my God, you hate my Lord Jesus Christ, you hate the one who died in my room instead and put away my sin by the sacrifice of himself, then don't expect me to love you. Now, if you're my enemy, I am to love you. And that love, first of all, is redemptive. That means I need to tell you the truth about how God saves sinners. But if you hate the Lord, that's a whole different ball game for every believer. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war. Always will be wars and rumors of wars in this world because of human beings. And a time of peace. This world knows little times of peace, but the church of the living God has peace in their heart, and they have a peace that passeth knowledge and understanding. That simply means as they look out around them, they see no peace, and they see no reason for peace. And yet the Lord has given them peace. He said, my peace I give thee, not as the world giveth, give I thee. He gives a peace that settles the heart and mind in all things and causes us to rejoice even in our trials and tribulations. And then he talks about a man's work and what he does in this world. He says, what profit hath he that worketh in wherein he laboreth? What profit hath he? What does it end up being? If you know anything about this world and its final consummation, you know that nothing you gain in this world, nothing you profit in this world, you can take with you. Only that which is eternal lasts forever, and those things are appointed and given by God alone. He said, I've seen the travail which God giveth to men to be exercised in. He said, he's seen the troubles and trials of man. He says, Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And it's God who gives this travails to men to be exercised in. And then he makes a wonderful and beautiful statement. Oh, for the faith to believe this and rejoice in it. Everything that goes on, everything that takes place in every second and hour and day and month and year of this world is beautiful in God's time, according to his time. It will show itself to be beautiful. And also he has set the world in the heart of men. That's an interesting phrase. Simply means this, that men judge things by what they see in the world. They judge things by circumstance, though they ought not to. But they look at circumstance and say, this is how it is. But circumstance is merely a tool in God's arsenal whereby he controls and manipulates and moves things in this world. But he set the world in our heart for a reason. We have these circumstances that move us and direct us often, and they're for a reason. And the reason is simply this: so we can't know what God is doing. Providence is a wondrous thing. It's an amazing and a beautiful thing. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tough. But it's always beautiful. It's always perfect. It's God's providence. He provides and moves things as he sees fit. And what a beautiful thing it is. But we don't want to know that. I remember many years ago, my brother, after my dad died, my brother, who didn't attend church much, told my mom, "I'll take you to church since Dad can't anymore." He'd gone on to glory. And so he began to take my mother to church. And I was sitting outside my mom's house with him, leaning up against the old Buick. And I said, "Let me ask you this." He said, I asked, "If God told you that the only way for him to get you under the gospel was to take your daddy, would you have agreed to that?" And he said, "Probably not." And I said, "Be thankful that you don't know what God is doing when he's doing it, because that's how he got you under the gospel." What a glorious thing providence is. Our brother has gone on to glory. It was his greatest wish. These last days he kept saying, "I just want to go home to be with his beloved wife Laverne and his dear friend Fred and sit together and worship the Lord around the throne of the Lamb." It was his desire. What would be the effect of his death? I don't know. But I know providentially, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful in God's time, in God's purpose. He said he did that so no man could find out what the work of God maketh in the beginning to the end. We just don't know what God is doing. The gospel is a report. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that glorifies God for the choosing of whom he would save out of a fallen race, bring them to the feet of Christ, to have his son, to take on human flesh and walk among sinners, yet without sin, and to die in the room instead of sinners when he was made to be sin for his people, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Fully satisfying God's law and justice by his sacrifice and being made to be the righteousness of all those whom God had chosen and they are accepted in the beloved. That is all a report. It's not something that we talk about going on now. It's something that happened. Something that happened in God's time, in God's season, in God's purpose. And that thing that happened is what we report over and over again in redundant, resplendent repetition. We stand and we tell the story, the old, old story of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for sinners. And we're thankful to be able to do that. But we're not telling something about something that's about to happen, or something you can do something about, or something you can make effectual by your decision or your free will. We're talking about something that's already taken place. The redemption of God's people is a finished thing. And what we do is tell people what God has done, because we can't know what he is doing to bring all of that to its appointed end. But we can know that he has done it. Having that knowledge and understanding, the preacher says, "I know that there's no good in them," that is, in men or in the things they have or possess. He said, "The only thing that's worthwhile is for a man to rejoice and do good in this life, to do good in this life, to endeavor with all his power to be the kind of person that would honor his God. We know what's good and what ain't. God doesn't list what's good and what ain't. He just tells us to do good in this life. And this is also that in this life, as we work and toil, it's good that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. You've earned it, enjoy it. But what you realize in the final thing, because it's beautiful in his time, is that your life and everything you have is the gift of God. That means you were given it and you received it. The Word of God says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. God is in the business of eternity. Eternity is a strange thing. We talk about it. We talk about eternal life, and that's talking about not the extent of it necessarily, but the quality of it. It never ends. We know that. But we don't know a great deal about eternity because we're bound by time and tide. But whatever God does is forever. And if he saved his people by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that's a forever thing. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither is any man able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. It's a done deal. It's closed. It's finished. It cannot be added to or taken from it. The Word of God declares that, and it declares in the Scripture, in Proverbs and in Revelation, that nothing is to be added to these words and none is to be taken from it. Because God's done it. God's done it. And he's done it so men would fear him. The word fear there is not slavish fear. He's done it so men would worship him, fall down before him, love him, honor him, glorify him. All glory belongs to him. And then the preacher says a verse that's always intrigued me and still does to this day. What happened Friday morning at 9:15 when our brother shed this mortal coil and the Savior came to take him home, taking his hand and saying, don't worry about death. I've already tasted it. It won't hurt you. Took him on to glory. What happened? What happened then had already been. There's nothing new under the sun. That which hath been is now. That which hath been is now. If you read history and look at history of this world, you know that everything that's happening now has already happened in every nation, in every culture, throughout the world history. What we have now is the ability to put our hands on it and see it in a matter of seconds through the internet. It's an amazing and a wonderful thing, but it's nothing new. It's just more readily reported. I can remember the days in high school when I would have a report to do. I would go to the library, to this great desk that had hundreds of drawers. It was called a card catalog. And that was my internet in those days. And I would look and look and look and find some article, some word that I could help me in writing a paper. That which is now has already been. that which is to be has already been. What does that mean? We have a future out yonder, but it's already settled in the seasons and times and purpose of God. And God requires that which He has ordained, or that which is past. As I was preparing this message, thinking on the things I was going to say, I read an article. Just as I was pondering this, to everything there is a season and a time and a purpose under the heavens, I read an article about scientists who were studying ants. And they found that ants, when they were preparing for winter, which the Lord says they do in Proverbs, they don't have an army, but they get ready for the cold winter months by taking in stores of things to eat and survive on. And these scientists had watched ants taking seeds into their little ant villages. And they split the seeds in half before they took them into their little domain. And the scientists wondered, why in the world would they do that? So they took some seeds that the ants had taken in, and they cut them in half, and they found that when they planted them, they would not germinate. They would not spring forth life. So they were just for food, and the ants divided them so they wouldn't grow into trees in the, underneath their domain, and they could eat them. But they also saw that for the coriander seed, it was divided into four pieces rather than divided in half. And they wondered why the coriander seed was treated differently than all the others. And so they took a coriander seed and cut it in half and planted it, and it germinated, grew roots, and started to grow. And then they took a coriander seed and cut it in four pieces and planted it, and it didn't germinate. The ants knew to divide the coriander seed into four parts while they divided the other seeds in two. And I thought, I wonder how they knew that. To everything, there's a season, time, to every purpose under heaven. Our brother is in glory, rejoicing in this passage that he loved. And for those of us who remain, there is a day coming for us to die and leave this world. What a day that will be when we see Jesus as He is, because we'll be like Him. And we have no more problem with sin and with the flesh. What a season that will be. Our mourning will be over. And it will be a time to dance and to rejoice. Wayne had a favorite song. I'm going to sing this without music. I hope I don't go flat on it, but we'll see. This was his favorite song. Fade, fadeth earthly joy. Jesus is mine. Break every tender tie. Jesus is mine. Dark is the wilderness. Earth has no resting place. Jesus alone can bless. Jesus is mine. Tempt not my soul away. Jesus is mine. Here would I ever stay. Jesus is mine. perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day, pass from my heart away. Jesus is mine. Farewell, ye dreams of night, Jesus is mine. Lost in this dawning bright, Jesus is mine. All that my soul has tried left but a dismal void, Jesus has satisfied. Jesus is mine. Farewell, mortality, Jesus is mine. Welcome, eternity, Jesus is mine. Welcome, O loved and blessed, welcome, sweet scenes of rest, welcome, my Savior's breast, Jesus is mine. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Father, bless us to our understanding. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.